This is Doug Miller. How about doing a little suffering for Christ's sake? Does that sound good to you? Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and here we go again. And I mean, it's a great privilege to be able to say that. Because just to be able to speak the Word of God and to know that God's blessing is on that Word, that it's going out like a sower scattering seed, and that it will have the effect that the Lord intends, and it will produce fruit. And who knows? It's not up to me to determine the kind of fruit or how much. I'll leave that to the Lord. And I'll see you in glory, I hope. So come along. We're in the gospel. We're in the Paul's letter to the Philippians. Bring your Bibles. Open up to Philippians 1:27 and call a friend. Tell them to listen in as well. We're going to talk a little bit about suffering for Christ's sake today. I guess you could tell that from the way I opened up this little session. So I think this will profit all of you who are listening. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out as far as we can get it out there and to as many as we can get it to. Now, God's word comes with a promise, and the promise is that it will not return to him void, that it will accomplish that which he pleased, that it will prosper in the thing whereto he sends it. And God's word comes with some sort of, frightening things too. You know, he who rejects me and receives not my word, said the Lord Jesus, has one that judges him. The very word that I speak will judge him in that last day. So those of you who are listening, remember, you won't be able to stand before the Lord in that great coming day and say, well, I didn't know any better. The Lord will bring up before you all of the things you ever heard from him, and that will include, I'm persuaded, some of the things you might have heard on Dialogue. So you listen carefully and open those Bibles and call a friend, tell them to listen in as well. Now, we would love to hear from you. I always say this because it is true. We are dependent on our listeners. This is a faith ministry. So let us hear from you. Always a delight to know you're out there, that you're praying for us, that you're telling others about us. Always a delight to be able to help you in any way we can. I've said many times and will continue to say that the messages that we put on these radio broadcasts they're all recorded and free for the asking, absolutely no strings attached. You can put that in the bank. We don't hound people for money. That's not the way we do business. And, our mailing address, yes, I guess I could give you that, is Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Now, if you didn't get that, Paul Sublett will give it to you later on. And I've got this thing. I announced this last week, and I'll keep announcing it for a few weeks anyway until it gets out there and firmly implanted in people's minds. We've got a web page up and running. It is a work in progress, so if you pull this up and say, well, it could have been a lot better, well, yeah, most anything I do could have been a lot better. And as I've said, I'm not doing this anyway because I am so technologically dense that no one would let me near anything like this. But some of the interested parties in Dialogue Ministries have kind of thrown in here to help us out. The webpage, write this down now, www.dialogueministries.org. Now, Dialogue Ministries is all one word. And you want to be sure to put .org on there. If you put .com, you'll get something else, because that's just the way it is. It's .org. And if you put that in and Google it and hit a return, why, you will see Dialogue with Doug Miller, and click on that, and you'll see my smiling face. Kind of a wreck. I wasn't always as ugly as I am now, but nevertheless, let's not even go there. All right. Enough babbling about that stuff. You can, incidentally, get the all of the broadcasts from Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, which just got through with. They're all on there. You can pull them up and listen to them, download them, spread them around, do whatever you want with them. There are no copyrights on any of my stuff. I want it out there as far as it can get out there, and you do what you want with it. All right. Philippians 1:27. We saw Paul the last time we looked at it. Talking about his desire to depart and be with Christ. And nevertheless, he says that it's better for you that I stay here, and therefore I will stay here. And he did for a while. He did for a while. But look at verse 27 now. And here we go with this good King James language, this Elizabethan English. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Now, let's just take a look at some of this language in here. First, that word conversation. I'm assuming that most of you know this. And if you have a translation other than the King James, it probably says this. The word conversation there does not mean your language. The kind of language you're using. It's an Elizabethan word that really means your manner of life, how you're living. Now, you'll notice here that there is a certain lifestyle that becomes the gospel of Christ. The good news of Christ, that Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That message, believed, becomes the salvation. It's salvation by grace through faith by believing the gospel. And the way, you know, it's not a matter. I hear people, and you've heard me say this on here, and you're going to hear me say it again and again every chance I get, because it is so important that this be said. But look, getting saved and going to heaven is not a matter of your turning over a new leaf and changing your life. That is simply out of the pit. That's not the way it is. You can set out and try to turn over a new leaf and change your life all you want to, but that's not going to save you. There are a lot of moral people and upright people out there who are not saved. And they are actively rejecting Christ, but humanly speaking, they are fairly moral. They go to work and they pay their taxes, and they don't, you know, beat their wives or children. They don't gamble away their money and drink excessively, and they may even show up at church from time to time, but they're not saved. And let's face the facts. That's the simple truth. Now, for me, personally, this business of trying to turn over a new leaf and straighten your life out and get your life into condition so that the Lord will be pleased with you, that never worked for me. I was, you know, as the saying goes, I was rotten to the core, and I wasn't very nice to the Navy. So, you know, being a good guy, it just wasn't in me to be good. It was after I got saved and was indwelt by the Holy Spirit that my life changed, and it wasn't me struggling to turn over a new leaf. I just wasn't the same guy anymore. Now, I want you to think about yourself and other people that you know. I hear from time to time someone will say, well, I'm, You know, I think, you know, God and I are all right. But there's nothing in their lives that would show that. Their lives are absolutely wrecked. And they are living in sin, and they are living in confusion, and they are living lifestyles that you wouldn't look at them and in a million years believe that they were Christian. You know why you wouldn't believe it? Because they're probably not. Now, I know from my own experience, it is very possible for Christians to backslide and to go off into things that they shouldn't be into, but I want to tell you what my conviction is from my own experience as well as this word. It is not possible for a Christian to get out there and stay out there. God will not allow it. He will not allow his children to stay out there. He will put you under discipline. And if the Lord takes you to the woodshed, you will know that you have been taken out there. And he will get hold of you and straighten you out. But Paul nevertheless makes this an imperative here. For those of you who have believed the gospel, for those of you who call yourselves Christian, I want you to hear the words of the Apostle Paul to his dear son in the faith, Timothy, as contained in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. This is what he says. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. You hear that? The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. Now, a seal has two sides to it, doesn't it? You look at a dollar bill, and you look at the back of a dollar bill, and you will see something you rarely see. You'll see the reverse side of the seal of the United States of America. A side has two seals. Well, what is the seal of God? Well, here it is. Listen to it. The Lord knoweth them that are his. That's the upper seal. That's you, if you're saved, as God sees you looking down from heaven. He sees the seal of Christ in you. But there's a bottom side to the seal, an underside, and it is this. Let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. It is important that you be to the world what the Lord knows that you are and what he says that you are. Your conduct is immensely important. And if people cannot, by looking at you, know that you are saved, if all they see is another side of the world, someone that just looks and acts and talks and dresses and everything just like the world, what is there in your life that would attract anyone to Christ? Because they're going to look at you, and you know what they're going to say, and it's going to be true. He, she is nothing but a hypocrite. Why would I want to do like that? The name of God, wrote Paul to the Romans in chapter 2 of Romans, is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. Blasphemed. Why? Because they weren't being what they said they were. Look at it again. Let your conversation be as it becometh Christ. He says, you stand together with one mind. Now, we're going to find out as we get a little farther on in this little letter that these Philippians were having a lot of trouble. They were sitting on a powder keg. And that may not be readily apparent, but it becomes very obvious by the time we get down to the end. In other words, they were just like a lot of us. There are a lot of churches out there in which there are just people who don't even like one another. They can barely tolerate to speak to one another. People who are, and I've known the situation myself, I've seen it myself more than once. Individuals, they are at the Lord's Supper together. They are breaking bread. They are taking the cup together. But they will not even speak to one another once, you know. They cannot speak pleasantly to one another. And if you ask them about it, you know what they'll tell you? Well, I have nothing against him or her. I love him or her, but you know, they are just, it's their problem. They are the ones, you know, and after all, their conduct is dishonoring to the Lord, and I have to be honoring to the Lord. But look, I've heard that so many times. You know, John Darby and George Mueller, of all people, wouldn't speak to one another, these old 19th century brethren. And, I mean, George Mueller, John Darby, two of the great believers of the 19th century, powerhouses within the assemblies of the brethren, wouldn't speak to one another. This is terrible. This is dreadful. Let your conversation in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. Now that is a verse that might be a little bit difficult to understand, so let me explain it to you. Unto you, let's just read the rest of the chapter here. And I think that will clear up a lot of it. Unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Did you get that? When you come to Christ, when you get saved, and last week I spent a lot of time talking about the joy of salvation, and boy, that's the truth. But I want to tell you something. There's another side of this. You get saved and you are going to find yourself in conflict with the world. Now, those that are unsaved, they're not in any conflict with the world. The world loves its own. But those of us who are saved, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. And everything about us is against the grain. But Paul, and you're going to have problems in the world. The Lord Jesus said that. In the world you will have distress, affliction, conflict, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now, one of the evident signs of your salvation, an evident token to you, is the fact that the world doesn't accept you anymore, that the world will not take you in and make you one of its own. The fact that, you know, these individuals who are out there living and rejoicing in the world and everything about the world, and they can't, they got no problems in the world, you know what that is? Paul says here it's an evident token of their perdition. They are under condemnation with the world. They're not saved. And that's a part of it. This world's under condemnation. This world is going into judgment, and this judgment is going to fall, and it's going to fall hard. And I am persuaded that it's not long off. I don't think we have much more time, because this world cannot go on and on and on rejecting God and hating Christ and despising him and despising Christians. And, you know, giving all its attention to the things of the world, judgment's going to fall, and it's going to fall hard. And for those of you who are out there, you're unsaved, you're a part of the world, you're over there with the world, the fact that the world loves you and embraces you is a sign of perdition. You're one of them, and you're going into judgment with them. But for those of you who are saved, who are in conflict with the world, which are, you know, with Christ Jesus and suffering for his sake, that's an evident sign of your salvation. If the world didn't accept your Lord, what makes you think it's going to accept you? If the world hates Christ, why wouldn't they hate his people? And they do, and they will. And that is one of the signs of your salvation. Look at once again here. Unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which ye saw in me and now here to be in me. Well, what did they see in Paul? Every time Paul hit town, he got run out by some mob. Well, not every time, but often. Every time he turned around, someone was beating him about the head and shoulders, taking in after him with clubs, rocks, and chains. And here he is finally locked up in prison. I'm telling you, when these people looked at Paul, there was no question about where he stood. The world hated him, and religion hated him, and his brethren, the Jews, hated him. And the more he loved people and the more he gave out the gospel of Christ in love, the more trouble he got into. Well, Paul says, guess what, Philippians? Get ready. You've got the same situation I've got. You're in the same boat as I am in. And if I am suffering, you're going to suffer. Now, friends, as we get on down toward the end, we can see it clearly. This world's not getting any better. It's getting worse. For those of you out there who are deluded and deceived, and you think, oh, well, things are getting better and better all the time. Why, we're just going to get our political candidates in office, and boy, we're going to change things here if we could just get those sore heads in the other party to go along with us. But they're just, you know, they're deluded and deceived. Oh, friend, how blind can you get? This world that hated our Lord Jesus Christ still hates him. This world that rejected him is still rejecting him. This world that does not want anything to do with God and hates God and wants to push God out, or maybe keep him in the closet and trot him out for certain occasions. You kind of dust him off, you know, and bring him out and pay a little lip service to him. Then you get rid of him as quick as you can. Look, that's the world. That's what it is. That's what it's always been. That's all it's ever going to be. And once again, as I have said and will say again and again, it can't continue to go on. There is an end to it. And God will put an end to it. And Christ Jesus is coming back very shortly, I think, with a trumpet and a shout to take his people, the saved ones, out of here. And we'll be gone. And when we are gone, look for the most terrible time of tribulation and distress and judgment that this world has ever seen. The Lord Jesus said, nothing like it has ever been seen. There'll be nothing like it again. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. Now, shortened, the period is 7 years. It's Daniel's last week. It's that great and terrible time that Jesus talked about in Matthew 24 and Daniel talked about in his prophecy. It is the day of the Lord that Joel and Amos and others talked about. It is the time of Jacob's trouble that Jeremiah talked about and that Isaiah talked about. That's what is coming. And this world is going to pass away and the lust thereof. But those who are saved are going to abide with Christ Jesus forever. Can you see the end? Can you hear the four horsemen, the hoofs of the four horsemen off in the distance? Can you hear the sound of our Lord's footsteps on the very doorway? Friends, which side are you on? Where do you stand? Where are you going to be when judgment falls? I trust you will be over here with those of us who have given our lives to Christ and believe in him. This is Doug Miller. This is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.